Hey, Anna, it's John Walton here. Here's your liner first.
Here's Wilson. And on the right side,
this is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the blue liner on point and Anna Knox. How about this, too? Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening, Anna. Thanks for helping our cause. Thank you so much. Stay safe during this time, and we hope to see you back at the rink soon.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, speaking to you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And without further ado, because, there's no do because all the hair shops are closed, the salons and whatnot, is my broadcast partner live to tape also from Centerville, Virginia. It's the mermaid, Anna Knox.
Yeah. Happy Sunday quarantine day. I don't know. 14, maybe?
Yes, it's week three of our survival mode. So we here at the Power Play Point Podcast have gone into that and decided to bring you another week of hockey, whatever, Caps hockey, whatever, but essentially try to be your survival guide for this thing.
Yeah.
COVID-19 has, I'm not going to say it's here to stay, but it's casting a wide shadow over a lot.
It is. It's a hell of a lot more scary than I think we all expected it to be. So, but I'm okay. Like, honestly, I'm keeping on a routine, which is kind of keeping me sane. So I highly recommend that to people because I did see a lot of people on social media talking about sleeping a lot and not feeling motivated. And I hear you. Like, this is one of those situations where, you know, whether you live with somebody or a family or you're by yourself, it could really, you know, bring you down to that kind of rock bottom mode. But
before we get too far into that, though, was it last week that they announced schools were closed for the rest of the year for Fairfax? Well, I guess what I should ask is, was that before or after we went on?
I think I knew going into the broadcast. I honestly don't know. I think there's so many of us that I'm like, hey, look, it's still March. It's like the never ending month. Even though it's my birthday month, this has kind of been the shittiest birthday month. That is. So I feel like I knew going into the show. I know we didn't talk about it too much because we wanted to kind of, you know, zone in on people's mental health and the callers and stuff like that. But yeah, so the schools are closed, but it doesn't mean that this school year has ended. And I think that's a kind of a big misperception out there, because we are all being trained in Fairfax County, and I think all the, you know, other districts in the area will be as well for distance learning. And that's all going to take place this week. And then we were supposed to have our spring break. So they have to kind of still abide by that the following week, which I don't even know, sometime in April, we will officially start where all the students in the county will be logging in to see their teacher, to see their classmates, all on like a virtual classroom kind of thing, and have to learn lessons that way and do packets. And just kind of keep, you know, kind of get some normal feedback with these kiddos, and especially for their parents that are kind of struggling on what to do with them.
Yep. So that's pretty much what your life has been like and will be like going forward for a while, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm worried about my kiddos because there are a lot of behavioral issues and things like that, that this is, you know, they need structure. And I think we all do, you know, so I think it'll be good. I wish it was just happening, you know, next week and not 2 weeks from now. But the county has been really fantastic with continuing to deliver meals to students that are like free and reduced lunch. I think a lot of people kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, that's good to see.
Yeah, yeah. And I will say, you know, it's the cafeteria workers who are there and they're putting lunches and breakfasts together every day. And they're now putting them in a like a school bus, and they'll say, okay, you know, at such and such time, I'll be at the corner of, you know, here and here. So kids can walk to that bus. No, you know, no one's asking any questions. As long as you look under the age of 18, they're not going to deny you. So that makes me proud to be part of this county, because that was a top priority, was to be sure that these kids are who come to school usually and get a free breakfast and then a free lunch, that we're not forgetting about them and their families. So then we're also going to figure out what to do about laptops and getting that. And then there's also a free Wi-Fi through the district that they'll be able to use. So no one, like, we're not forgetting about anybody, but there's like 116,000 students or something like that in Fairfax County. So the fact that they were able to get this together as quickly as they could is really tremendous. And yeah, so it'll be interesting to how the laptop and seeing my students when I then will be looking at myself, giving them the teacher glare when they're acting up. I bet, yeah, there's my face. I don't know if I'm ready for that, but we'll see. I'm sure it'll be fine. I miss them though.
To catch everybody up, and especially for the newer listeners, Anna is an elementary specialist teacher for Fairfax mm-hmm. County Schools, one in particular. You can give it a plug here if you want.
Sure. I'm at Lee's Corner Elementary School in Chantilly, and I work in third grade. I have special ed students, but I work with students with behavioral issues is my focus. But I work with learning disabled students on the spectrum, and all that kind of stuff. So being away from them hurt. Like my heart hurt. I do miss them. I know I made fun of them or being stressed before, but I truly, I truly, truly miss them. So the virtual classroom thing will be, it'll be interesting because they'll be at their house and they can kind of do what they want. So.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Well, I left the teaching biz many, many, many years ago, so I can't even imagine trying to pull that off. So yeah, that'll be that. Yeah, you're right. That's going to be interesting because
and I think that would probably be like, you know, in a 2 weeks we started where the kids have to log in required, you know, to see us and to talk, and then they've got packets and stuff to do and whatnot, and then I'm just available for a plethora of reasons, whether it's, you know, the mom who's at her breaking point and she just needs someone to talk to, or if my student is having a meltdown because they don't understand and they're about to lose their shit. So I'm going to be there, but it's going to be a good way for me to kind of get back and feel, you know, connected to them again. And then I think after that first week, if we decide to do another mental health check-in, we'll see how I'm feeling then. We'll see.
All going to be interesting. I just have one question though. Is it,
okay.
So I mean, is it, are the kids expected to like sit there for like more than say 20 or 30 minutes and do the distance learning through that? Or is it longer? Is it shorter? How's that going to work? Cause I really can't see the kids sitting through anything longer than anything like that, if that.
Right. Right. No. And I understand what I heard, and it could be a rumor, but what I kind of understood it to be was, from like 9 to 10 or 8:45 to 9:45, however the district decides or the school decides to work it out, is that teacher you know, teaching distance learning on the, you know, on their laptops, and the students are watching and, you know, engaged. And it's more than one subject for a lot of us. So, like, you know, if we have to go over math, or if we're just reviewing math, and there's probably also going to be, you know, science and social studies, and there'll be language arts. So it should go by very fast. But I get what you're saying, because I work with, you know, the ADHD population that can not sit for that long, which is why after that time frame, they kind of do a recess for 20 minutes at home, you know, take a break, and then they have packets in which it'll assign daily what they need to do. And then they'll have a break, and they'll have a lunch break, and all that kind of stuff. But during that time, myself especially, my laptop is open. I just, you know, basically sitting around, it'll notify me when a parent needs to talk, you know, on virtually, or if they, you know, just if they just want to text, it'll show up on my screen as to, you know, if they're struggling with the direction, or the student's having a meltdown, or all that kind of stuff. So I think 1 hour is totally doable, you know, especially because it's not going to just be like one subject and somebody boring. I think a lot of the teachers really miss teaching, so they're going to do anything that they can to make it interactive and fun.
Yeah, yeah, I would hope so. And little trick I learned that probably hastened my moving away from that. But if you find yourself losing your audience, just, you know, make like you're doing your own show, kind of like this one, maybe. except hopefully not as much cursing. I don't know.
I keep it clean.
Okay. just a little piece of advice from, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. So sorry if you out there on the other side of the speakers, the earbuds, what have you, are bored by our shop talk, but, you know, that's, you know, what we're facing here. And of course, I'm still, doing my job. I've actually been a teleworker for my company for several years now, so was nothing new that I had to do, except for my workload has probably about quadrupled. Yeah. Because it was a mad scramble to get as many people, if not everybody, onto teleworking capability as possible. And these 2 weeks, I don't mind telling you, have just about killed me. And, you know, you really, it's an old cliche, but you really do have to have the patience of Job to kind of sit through and talk a lot of these folks through, you know, not only setting up their equipment, but logging in and, you know, telling them what to expect and how to deal with, you know, certain situations and loss of connectivity and that kind of thing. And, you know, some of these folks, they just, you know, they have, technology is not their thing, and that's just putting it politely. And
right. I would be one of those people.
You just kind of got to sit back and kind of patiently, you know, kind of steer them through it. And then, you know, some of them will want you to hold their hand the entire time, even through all the easy parts. And
right.
Yeah, it's just probably the most frustrating is the fact that, you know, the periods of time where the number of calls just don't seem to go down. But thankfully, I think we've got everybody just about up and running, and everything's stabilized. And so, yeah, I mean, that's a good thing. And when you work in, you know, when you work in the financial industry, it's vital. You know, you got people.
Well, absolutely.
People who need to get paid, need their money, need access to their money, need to know what's going on. You know, so it's.
Yeah. Well, and I think this quarantine period, you know, has kind of made a lot of people take a step back and kind of either appreciate things or realize things that they took for granted. Because there's, you know, we could be in a really so much worse situation than we are right now. I mean, you know, and it's like, okay, listen, we still have access to food. We still have access to water. You know, people still have electronics. There's still that we can still connect with people. So I think, you know, and then to have a job and knowing that you're still getting paid is something that, you know, here I will openly admit, you know, I've been teaching for over 15 years and there are times that it is really, really hard. You come back and say, oh, the fuck, like, this is so frustrating. I might, you know, we're underpaid, we're this and that. And it took a time for, you know, this time away from my students to say, you know, this is exactly what I was cut out to do. Like, I'm, you know, like, I'm good at what I do. I love my students. I like the challenge. And, you know, they may be considered an underdog to other teachers, but I'm sure as hell going to never treat them like that. So it kind of, it gives you a little bit of perspective on yourself and stuff like that. So just be grateful that, you know, yes, you have people calling, but you know, you're having a human connection with somebody, whether it be over the phone, whether they're kind of losing their shit or not, but you're getting paid.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, look, I kind of want to go back to an internet meme that I saw earlier this morning, you know, and it was from somebody from India, basically saying, and it kind of struck me funny at first, but the more I looked into it, I was like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And basically he was saying, well, you might hate the fact that you're shut in and life is virtually shut down right now for you, but think of it this way. In India, it's a lot harder for us to do it because there's a lot more people and not a whole lot of, you know, space to do that in. Can't necessarily do the 6 feet all the time, and you know, there's a lot of
and
people
the amount of homeless people
a lot of homeless yeah. people a lot of people, you know, living at or below the poverty line there. You know, it's just not easy. So if you've got a roof over your head and time to yourself at times and food on the table and you're still earning a living somehow, you know, look, it's crappy, but you've still got to be thankful. And you're right. It does change your perspective on things. It sucks that we're missing a lot of that, which not everything, but a lot of that, which makes life worth living. But, you know, if you think about it, yes, there's still a lot to be grateful for. And in some fashion, we're all doing our part to keep life going. And so,
yeah. I did see that meme. It was from Stuart Small. And I thought, you know, when I read it at first, I thought, oh my gosh, like I'm not, oh, kind of read it. I had to read it a couple of times, to be honest, because I thought, God, that really does make you think for, you know, for those of us who are like, oh, but I can't go and sit down at my favorite restaurant. Oh, but I have to do, you know, curbside pickup. Really? That's your concern right now?
Yeah, compared to those that are, you know, wondering where their next paycheck is coming from, or worse, lying in a hospital bed, right. They've got loved ones wondering if they'll make it through the night. Yeah, kind of a small potatoes type of concern to be worried about.
But speaking of Stuart, just to kind of bring this on a little bit more of an upswing, because, you know, I think we do have a lot of fun on the show. I know that I have been wildly inappropriate for the majority of the shows, but I think, you know, now it's okay. So, but I will say, so Stuart has been commenting on some of my cooking lessons that I've been getting my kids during this time. Which I think is, you know, there are things that kids these days are not learning, laundry, cleaning, you know, the bathroom or cooking. So I have taken it upon myself to teach my kids during the day. Well, not, like, you know, they're helping me with stuff and how things work in the kitchen. And so he's been asking for care packages, and I completely thought he was joking. And then he was like, no, like the food looks really good. And so we had actually went back and forth on Messenger and thought, my God, we may just have to do a weekly Facebook Live of Anna teaching Stuart how to cook. and I don't know if it'll happen, but he's all on board because, of course, like he's so comfortable in front of the camera and everything else. And I'm like, ugh. But it's also a time for us to look at things that, you know, what the hell? Why not? Like, who really cares?
For somebody that doesn't really like putting herself out there. I mean, okay. So I get that sports on the Hill, since there's no hockey or other sports for that matter, probably doesn't need you for a little bit, but you're talking about doing another spinoff podcast.
Not a podcast. Oh, come on now. No, this would just be like a live, taking, like, and I'm not an amazing cook whatsoever. I have just taken to it because I find it incredibly therapeutic, and I always have prior to coronavirus. And also it's, you know, it's easier and cheaper if you have a family. But for him, he's like, you know, I don't really know how to do a whole lot. You know, I'm like, everyone knows like the basics. So there may be a chance if I can get maybe a little liquid courage in me to go on Facebook Live with Stuart, and we either be cooking at the same time, or I'm going to walk him through a recipe that I, you know, that I do here that I think he could do successfully. So we'll see.
Well,
what happens in your quarantine?
Speaking of Caps fans and quarantine and what they've been doing and cooking. Another fellow fan and listener, Ron Deal, has taken to posting from his kitchen some quick little videos of his. First one he did, I tried to post because I thought it was absolutely hilarious. His daughter Paige stole the show on that one. I don't know if he's even given it a name. I'm calling it Ron's Deal a Meal. Whenever he posts one of his videos, I'll be sure to share it on the Triple P podcast Facebook page, because it's kind of a treat. It not only does the food he's making look good, but he's kind of got a Bob, how do I describe this? The best way I can describe this is a Bob Newhart kind of self-deprecating, humble kind of humor about him that some of you out there might appreciate very much. And he's got his daughters on there that come on, and they do a lot of hilarious things, and he's got his two dogs, and you know, he pans the camera over to them a lot. It's anybody out there who knows Ron and knows he's good for a couple of laughs at least. So I, like I said, whenever he posts them, I'll be sure to share them and on our page. I think it's worth checking out. You guys out there need something of a laugh. So that's right. One example of somebody who's putting their time to good use. I'm sure we all are, or trying to anyway.
Yeah.
But speaking of filling the void and replacing the time, since there's no real games, Monumental Sports and NBCSN Washington have tried to, are trying to fill the void with simulated games from the NHL 20 video games. Of course, it's part of the popular Electronic Arts series game of NHL seasons. They've done it like forever, ever since, 95. I actually owned NHL 97. Yeah.
All right, we'll just let that go.
I would hope so. One of us here has to keep it clean.
You sound like a 75-year-old man. Like, who says, oh, golly? Apparently you do.
Hence why I have to keep it clean, like as in the washing of the hands for 20 seconds.
All right, continue.
Anyway, so I happened to catch the one, I think it was last Wednesday night against the Blues, and I wanted to like it. I wanted to enjoy it. I kind of did. Okay, so to get the good out there, it was good to hear Locker and Joe B hear their voices calling a game. It was really good to hear that again. I will say that. But I mean, the whole thing took like maybe an hour and felt nothing like a real game. And I mean, I wanted to like it, but it just,
I did too.
Wasn't quite the same. Sorry. If you guys out there listening get a kick out of it and it does it for you, hey, great. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying for me, you know, it's not quite there.
The highlight for me, Joe B and Locker.
Of course.
And that's it.
I mean, okay, so I kind of feel like I have to illustrate my point a little more. So okay. it would be like if we did something like that, if we tried to do a simulation of this show. So I mean, like, okay, so for example, okay, Anna, go ahead and ask me. So ask me anything.
Ask you anything. Okay, Gil, what is your favorite food?
Why, yes, Anna, it is good to hear from you. How are you doing today?
Yep. Am I supposed to continue?
Call that a glitch in the program, but yes.
Yeah, it's a little... I don't know. I appreciate the effort. How about we put it that way?
That is a good point, Anna. But remember that we are a family show.
Oh, I hear you loud and clear. I get it. Wouldn't it be great if it was...
Anna, you made a funny there. My sides are splitting with laughter.
I'm done. Game over.
No, this is not a simulation. It is really me.
Mm-hmm. I just thought, like, dropping F-bombs and stuff like that. Would that like, be like, overload, and you'd have to stop?
That is a good point, Anna. But remember that we are a family show.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, but you get my point now, right?
Oh yeah, loud and clear.
Okay, good. Yeah. And I hope the listeners do as well, because look, when it comes down to it, I think Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell had it right. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby.
Agreed. I mean, it's I just can't. I just couldn't get on board. I mean, it's almost,
A for effort. Yeah. I like the fact that they're trying something, but
absolutely,
it's just it's not for me. And you know, Robin Unzicker posted something and to the same effect. And I said, yeah, I mean, for me, I'd rather play the game rather than sit and watch the game. Cause well, that's what I do. I play video games. I don't sit and watch them. I play them.
True. Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't, but sitting there through, I'll tell you, there was yesterday afternoon, I came upstairs to like the most obnoxious sound. I was like, what the fuck is that? And it's my husband, my two kids, laughing hysterically. I'm not saying like, what was that sound? Because they were laughing. But it was like this noise that was going, and I was like, what is that? And I come upstairs, and somebody had given Ian for his birthday an Atari, because we're old. And it has like all of the classic games on it. And
oh my God, one of the old Atari 2600s?
Not they've sort of, let's just say like they... Well, yeah, it doesn't have the cartridges, you know, but it's like basically all the old school Atari games with the same remote, but wireless, thank God. But all the same stuff and all the same speed. So like when we're talking, so my daughter was like, what is this game? I'm like, oh my God, this is Pong. Like, this is like the best game ever when I was little. And now that I'm watching, I'm like, all right, this is terrible. So boring. But those are the graphics, you know, that we had back in the 80s. And all the other, like, they were doing some, not triathlon, something else where you had to, like, pole vault and do all this stuff. And that's where the sound was coming from. Where I was like, what are you guys doing? So it was kind of crazy. So it's like watching that, the old school Atari stuff was like, I was just looking at, like, I just can't quite appreciate it as much as I did back in the 80s. And then I guess kind of seeing this game, this NHL game, I was like, eh. It just, I don't know. It just, there's something missing, you know, I was just like, ah, so whatever. But yes, the Atari thing, if you're into it, I mean, it's, if you grew up in that era, all the original games, and they don't change anything. I don't know why I brought that up, but whatever.
You can't see it right now, but I'm kind of drooling and have a very spaced out look on my face right now.
Yeah. Well, it was his childhood, like one of his childhood best friends who came down from Massachusetts to give it to him for his birthday. And it was like him and like the other guys who were there, all childhood, all grew up doing this stuff and whatever. And all the wives were like, you know, that eye roll. We're like, really, this is what you're going to give him for his birthday? And then, of course, it's like an epic marathon game of, holy shit, do you remember this game? Do you remember this game? And yeah, so I played a little bit, but this is what it's resulted, you know, it's what we're doing in the Knox household. Bringing it back to the 80s.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can dust my old system out of mothballs or whatever.
We're still talking about games,
yes, video game mm-hmm. systems. Speaking of which, okay. I checked out Twitter a little while ago, and mm-hmm. apparently, our old friend Fee. Asking for a friend, you can't see it, but I'm doing air quotes, for a friend, about how to remove the stickiness from a Nintendo Switch.
Oh. And, we don't have a Nintendo Switch, but I'm sure we could figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, the first thing several people have already answered her, but first thing came to my mind was maybe a Q-tip or a cotton swab with some rubbing alcohol on it be the best way to mm-hmm. do that. So what I'd like to do now is confer with an expert. Jeffrey! Jeffrey!
Aw. I think you're trying to pawn it off like you're not the expert in this skill, so you don't want people to be like, a gamer too?
Look, what? I'm familiar with the Nintendo Switch, but this person has logged thousands upon hundreds of hours on it, so I would consider him an expert.
Okay.
How would you go about removing stickiness on the buttons of a Switch?
The buttons specifically? I do not know.
You use the thing half the freaking day? How do you not know this?
But how does it become sticky?
Hold on it, or is it just the system bugging out?
Okay, I will read her tweet out loud verbatim. So if someone had hypothetically opened a bottle of something that was fizzier than expected and that, say, spilled on their Switch.
Well, you should have said that before, because when you
and the
sound
Switch
like it was
fine, but a couple of days later, some buttons are a bit sticky. Will you stop? How would one fix that? Asking for a friend, OBV, winky emoticon.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you have to just buy a new one.
She says it still works.
Yeah, but it's sticky.
Then wipe it down with a
Clorox
wipe or something.
The best bet is maybe trying to clean it out with just a wet. I don't know what you can even get under the buttons, though.
You don't have to get under the buttons, just in the holes that, you know, the holes that.
Q-tips and rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, Q-tips and rubbing alcohol. That we're gonna leave it at that. Thank you for your sage advice, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Thank you for playing. Do not pass go. Do not collect your allowance.
Well, and you who are preaching to me all the time about this being a family show, and here you are having a little moment about sticky holes. So, hey now.
Wait, look, if you want to take that down, if you want to take that down a bad road, you're going to take that down the bad road.
I'm just saying, you're the one who's talking about sticky holes.
Yeah. Okay, I only brought it up to try and help a friend, air quotes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. We tried to help you, but it did not work out. We tried. Okay. We tried. Hope you're at least getting a laugh out of this fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
Fiasco. Yeah, see what I did there?
Oh, this is why we can never be quarantined together.
Okay. Yeah, that's for damn sure.
Agreed.
Yeah. Sorry, Fee. We tried to help you, but yeah, that didn't go well, so some survival guide we are, eh?
Yeah, we tried.
Yeah. Well, anyway, now to the main purpose of this episode, at least. I wanted to focus on something good, you know, something we all, and yeah, it's in the past, but something very good that we can all kind of focus on and remember fondly, of course, and that's of course the night the Caps finally won the cup, mm-hmm. the night of June 7th, 2018. So yeah. I posted the question out there, what were you doing, what were you feeling, what was life like for you kind of at that moment, those mm-hmm. moments, you know, during the game, and then of course right after with the celebration, then watching them raise the cup and all that.
Right.
So I wanted to know what all that was like, but Anna and I are going to go first as far as what that night was like, both watching the game and so forth. So Anna, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. So when I saw this question today, which is awesome, thank you so much, because it is something that we can all bond over, and I don't know a single Caps fan that doesn't tear up when they see Game 5 and get goosebumps. So then on Thursday night, I had just an okay week at school. With it being June 7th, I had just another week left of school, so we were kind of tired, you know, kind of feeling like, blah. But I had a couple girlfriends at school who are diehard fans, season ticket holders and whatnot, when I would see them in the morning, I was like, I can get through anything because our boys are playing tonight in Vegas and we have got this. I will say that I was quite calm during leading up to this game for a couple of days because I kind of felt like going back to game three. I don't know, like the score was, you know, it was 3-1 and the next game was 6-2. But we were like not going to give up. Like, this is it. This is the team that was out to, oh my God, bring the Stanley Cup back to DC for the first time and do it for Alex Ovechkin and do it for themselves. And I was just ecstatic. So the crazy thing is, so like this whole time during all the games, I always wore the same thing, which I think you had talked about wearing an OSU jersey and sweating because it was so hot. And I was like, well, Mike here was going commando. I kept that right. With those blue shorts. had, you know, same shirt, had a vodka tonic. And I watched everything by myself. That was kind of my little superstitious thing.
Right.
And I don't know. I got so excited. I was so pumped up. Everyone was texting and we're going back and forth during the game. And as soon as Eller scores, I'm, you know, cheering and my whole family is asleep. And I'm like, I don't care. This is outrageous. Oh my God. No, and how come no one's calling me? My phone died. My phone died.
So of all times for that to happen, it happened right. Then.
Yeah. And so the whole, you know, here we are with like 0.06 seconds left. And, you know, you're looking at Ovechkin's face and he's grabbing Backstrom's jersey. And you're like, you know, with that holy shit, like we almost got this, like Holpe, you know, pull through kind of thing. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm celebrating and I'm crying and I'm just like, drunk, I'm sure. And my phone is completely dead. Completely dead. Because I was like, oh my God. Like, and so I think by the time I talked to you, it was like, I don't know, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, midnight. I have no idea. But I just felt, I felt so good going into the series. I felt so proud of them. And I will say to this day, you know, watching the highlights, even though we've been quarantined and they keep showing, it does never get old. It will never get old. Smith Pelly, Eller, Ovechkin's facial expressions, the save, just the whole team together. And then I will say one of my most favorite things ever was hearing Sean Walton. So when you have your good morning, good afternoon, and good night from him, and you can hear it in his voice, it just gets everybody emotional, and myself included. And so that was my June 7th, 2018 moment, memory. And then I was wicked hungover the next day.
Hey. Well, I had to work later that overnight and into the day. So I did not have the benefit of alcohol because it was a weekday.
Evening.
And I remember, of course, I was on my couch watching the game. I was alone. Everybody else had long since gone to bed by then.
I was at work.
That's right. No. Okay. So Mrs. Blue Liner was actually at work. Okay. That's right. So I was alone, and I distinctly remember jumping up off the couch when Eller scored the go-ahead goal. And pacing and being a nervous wreck for the rest of the night. And then for whatever reason, this sticks out. But then in the game, what happened was for whatever reason, I don't know that anybody's been able to explain it, but the clock went out. The power was still on. The clock had gone out with like 2 minutes left to play or something like that. The clock actually went out and my heart just dropped and my stomach turned into an animal that wanted to crawl out from inside of my body. And all I could think of was, dear God, could it be that the hockey gods have actually conspired for this to happen when they are literally seconds away from winning the whole thing? And I don't know. I wanted to hit something. I wanted to run around. I literally did not have control of my mind and my body for like a good minute there. And it was just the weirdest thing. And I don't know. I remember that moment because it was probably the most intense feeling I had ever had for anything in quite a long time. You try to remember the most significant moments of your life, you know,
right.
You know, getting married, your first child being born. It was comparable to that, where everything just stopped.
Well, I think, you know, here we were thinking, okay, we look so great. This is, and then it was like, are you kidding me? Like, wait, what just happened? Oh, and remember, I think we compared it to a couple months prior to that with the Super Bowl. Was that with the Ravens?
The Ravens' last Super Bowl win where the power had gone out in New Orleans. Yeah. But here's the thing. They kept playing the game. The clock stopped, but they kept on playing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Because nothing else had gone out.
Right, right. It's so crazy.
So they kept playing, and all I kept waiting for was a goal to be scored or a penalty to be called. And like, okay, well, how do we know when this happened? Because the clock's gone out, and they're going to have to stop the game, and it's going to kill the momentum. And that, you know, when I got my senses back after that minute where I lost them temporarily, I was like, oh, no, no. Then the practicality of it started to roll in. Oh, God, somebody's going to bend the rule against the Caps. Somebody, this is not going to work out. There's some sort of
Pittsburgh fan gonna blow it.
Malicious spiritual.
Oh yeah.
Crap at hand that is conspiring to not allow the team to win. It was all I can think of. And then somehow, towards the end, I think the clock came back online. And I wasn't thinking. I didn't think to put a stopwatch on and time it. I would have liked to have thought they put it back in sync as best as they could. Now, I would like to think maybe the Toronto office was keeping track somehow, but the clock came back online and there was something like 20 seconds left. And then, of course, you know, the rest is history. You know, there was that last face-off with like a fraction of a second left, and then John Walton's call, and everybody mobbing the ice, and I sank to my couch with the combination that I'll never feel again, probably of utter relief and joy, all at the same time. And then that's when it, you know, a little after the ceremony got going, and that's when it hit me, like, how come nothing's happening on my phone?
Right. Where is my annoying co-host, and why isn't she chiming in?
Right.
Yeah,
and
trust me.
You said it, not me, but yeah.
And same way. I was like, here I am celebrating by myself, and I looked at completely dead. And I think, didn't I? But I called you.
Yes, you right. Did. You did. Now, yeah. Now this is where the memory starts to get a little fuzzy, because yeah. I can't remember if you called me first or if Bernie Deal called me first. And you know what?
I think it was you. I'm honestly not sure, but I know that you were the first person I called.
Right. And then,
but I don't know.
Yeah,
if
now
I
that
was,
I, now that I think yeah. about it, I think Bernie called me. It was something like 2 a.m. and I had to go in like an hour later.
Bernie and I
were just blabbering on for a good 30, 45 minutes, you know, about how great this was and the whole conversation. I mean, both conversations are now a blur, you know, all this time later, but I remember hearing from the both of you, and yeah, I don't remember anything else. I just literally blacked out for a half an hour. And then, of course, I had to go into work. And then I just, after that, I don't know. I was probably on an adrenaline high for the rest of that week. I don't think I felt the thing bad.
Oh, absolutely not. And
hunger, tiredness, sadness. It wasn't going to touch me.
Yeah. Every emotion possible.
So that's something of a little taste for what it was like for Anna and myself. So we posted the question in our Facebook room, Robin J. King, who has been a listener for a little while now, posted with a very good answer. So since she kind of started all this, I'll explain that in a second. I will give her the honor of reading her answer first. So if you will bear with me, because, yeah, let's see. Oh, God, gotta love technology. Okay, so here is, okay, so here's her answer. So the way I posted the question was this. What was your experience like that night? What did you do? Spare no details if possible. And she answered, beach and hockey, two of my favorite things in life. I watched the game with a friend at work from the Pitten Pub in Ocean City, Maryland. He wasn't a big hockey fan until after that night. We had started the day on the bayfront at a place that was not showing the game, but had a countdown of greatest Stanley Cup moments. I thought the game started after the countdown was over, but wasn't the case. Planned to watch it somewhere else originally, but couldn't find a place to sit or even have a good view. Pitten Pub was packed, but plenty of standing room, plenty of big screens. Could have ended up in a better place. Had a great time. Every time the Caps scored, you got a $3 drink. Enjoyed a great crab cake. Good God, I wish I was there now. The place was packed with Caps fans, all chanting and high-fiving, sharing table with a lovely couple. During intermission, showed some guys how to hit a hole in one, the putting green out front. Sounds like your kind of place, Anna.
Good, 100% does. I was like, hockey and the beach and miniature golf? All right.
Yeah.
Or any kind of golf.
So she goes on to say they since removed the golf course, unfortunately. Actually wanted the Caps to win so that when they and I returned to D.C., celebrate with them in town. When the Caps won, the whole place started singing, "We are the champions, greatest feeling in the world." A little later after the game, we went to the beach to celebrate some more, met some young people on the beach, and laughed so hard I stepped out of my shoe, limped back to my hotel with the help of my friend Don, laughing hysterically the whole time. He was really upset that we couldn't find my sandal. Afterwards, he tucked me in, made me promise to get my shoe in the morning, and left. That morning, I went back to the beach, and the beachcombers had been there, began our search. Needless to say, never found my sandal, but I did find five other different shoes. I guess I wasn't the only one. A night I will never forget. It was so much fun. I didn't care about my last shoe. The Capitals had won the Stanley Cup.
Amazing.
So I read that. I was like, wow, that was terrific. And then she comes back and says, well, I just stole some of your posts to ask others to tell their stories in other groups. I hope you don't mind. And I said, mind? Hell no. Let them do it. And it turns out she posted it in the number one Washington Capitals fans Facebook room. And I promised I would read them all. I don't think we have time to read them all because there's actually like 40 of them, 40 or 50 of them. I'm going to read a select few by name. I will read all of them. I will read the rest of them as an Easter egg to this episode. But we're going to get through some highlights now. Again, bear with me. My phone just don't want to cooperate. Okay, so the first one came from Chizzy Lavelle. I was in my living room yelling at the top of my lungs, then got online ordering my Stanley Cup Champions merchandise. Aaron Davis. I'm from Maryland, but I was at a Dave & Buster's in Syracuse, New York. I was there for a national bowling tournament. Sad part was that Dave & Buster's didn't even have the game on when we got there, but they were super nice and turned it on the big screen and the sound on for the whole bar to hear. I was there with my other bowler buddies. We were the only ones who even cared about hockey. Syracuse? Really? Oh. Time ticked down. Walton yelled, "It's not a desert mirage. The Washington Capitals are the Stanley Cup champions." Of course, he didn't actually hear Walton. NBC broadcasters were the most lethargic I've ever heard for a Stanley Cup champion. Anyway, got teary-eyed people at the bar, could care less about the Caps, came up, congratulated us if we had anything to do with this. Next morning, I wore my Caps jersey as all the bowlers and myself walked across the lanes to their assigned area. Tyler Shade is on the corner of F and 7th, 7th Street and F Street, not effing 7th. For 8 hours that day, watching on the big screen outside of Cap One Center with thousands of other fans, best night ever as a Cap fan. Glenn Long, born in D.C. in 71, been a Caps fan since I can remember. Moved a lot, but still catch them all in arenas. all over. I planned a Rhode Island vacation. I live in Tampa, so our first day was that day. We went for world famous clam, got sick hours later, dead sick. So we were in our hotel, had game on. I was so sick, I slept through it. Luckily recorded, so I watched home a week later. Felt fine, but talk about pissed off.
Okay. Oh, the worst.
Sorry about that. Julie Apple, on my porch with son and husband from Northern VA, originally fan since the 80s, raised our son as a Cap fan. So if you want to see that, she posts pictures of them, on, and it's the number one Caps fans page. If you want to see that, let's see a couple more. Peg Compton, TV room in Michigan, slider open, sound cranked up, yelling at the top of my lungs at the TV. Icing on the cake, my brother, a diehard Red Wings fan, called to congratulate me and our team, almost disowned me years earlier when I gave our dad Caps gear for Christmas. Oh, that's a long one. I'll read that later. Okay, so one more. There was one I really gotta read this one too. Kathy Katz, if you out there Caps fam, you should know who she is. I was at a friend's house. We were having a huge party, wishing we could all be in Vegas with Coach, his sister and daughter. That should give away who she is. There was so much excitement in the room when I realized the Caps had won the cup and everyone in the room hugged. I had to take a minute, go outside, cry tears of joy. Had been praying for the past few years this would happen for Coach's Alzheimer's got to the point he couldn't remember or be there to experience it. My phone soon rang after, and it was the Oshi clan. Well, now the cat's out of the bag. Where are you? You should be here. Jumped in the car and got there as fast as I could. We all cried, hugged, and yelled, "We got the cup!" So, absolutely wonderful from Kathy Katz. Okay, that's so amazing. There's way too many here to read right now. We got to end the show. We're running out of time. I'll read them later. But there's one more. There's one more for sure I want to read. Okay, Avery Gilbert. I was actually at a Florida-Georgia Line concert. Had tickets months before, had no idea when the final game was. They showed the end of the game on the big screen, and at the pavilion on the show, we got to see them win, and everyone went nuts.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's probably...
That's really cool.
That was probably the best, one of the best, if not the best, out of the 50 or so that posted. And to those of you whose posts I didn't read, I apologize. I will read them, you know, as a tack on. But yeah, I'm not, Mrs. Blue Liner will attest to this. I'm not the biggest fan of country music, but that song meant to be, means something. And of course it means something for a fan base that was having a lot of trouble believing. And that's why, yeah. And I think the song kind of came out around the same time, so it was pretty good to hear something like that. And John Walton, I got to give him a lot of credit for the "It's Okay to Believe" meme on Twitter. And I want to take this opportunity to thank him, and you'll hear why towards the end of the show. But to everybody else from the number one Caps fan, number one Washington Capitals fans room, thank you all so much for posting your answers to that. That's why each and every one of you, I gave a love response to all of you. So if you're wondering why, now you know why. So do please spread the word about our show. You know, we really do mean it here when we say we make you guys the star, you the Caps fan, because that's what we do here. So yeah, it was absolutely great to hear from so many Caps fans and have their experiences shared with us. And thank you all so much. I know this was our idea, but thank you all so much for allowing us to go on the ride with you down memory lane, because that was one hell of a night and one I'm sure that we'll never ever forget.
Mm-hmm. Never.
So, Anna, you're going to keep on teaching?
I'm going to keep on teaching, distance learning.
Distance learning.
And yeah, we'll see. It's nice because, like, then this way I can look professional on the, you know, on the screen in a little box. I just have to, like, put a nice shirt on. What goes on the bottom, who knows? You know, and wear shorts. My PJs.
To this day, I'm not going to try and understand, but yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I damn me for this will probably get me slapped here in a second, but thank God for you not wearing underwear.
Right? See, it worked out in the end when everyone was like,
oh. Why did it work out in the end? I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, that's what she said. So we're all good. All right, I'm going to go cook dinner. You ready to scoot out?
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks again to everybody. And look, we will survive this thing by hook or crook, yes. And hockey will come back. Try not to despair. We are both availing ourselves. If you're having mental health issues, as Anna mentioned, she's 100%. Making herself available to her students and her parents and to anybody for that matter. Mental health is as big a concern as our physical well being as well. So very important. So please reach out to someone, if not us, if you're feeling like that. So with that, we're going to wrap it up for another week. I'm not quite sure what we're going to do next week. No, I do know, at least in part. So I'm going to say it right now. If anybody out there has a business, especially a restaurant that is kind of falling on hard times because of the social distancing we're all supposed to be doing, let us know. We'll give them a plug. You know, we're a 10-watt machine in a 1,000-kilowatt universe, but we will do everything we can, trust me. So if you guys know of a place like that that's struggling and could use a little help, we'll get the word out, trust me. So let us know, please. All right, so for the Mermaid, Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off for this March 29th, 2020, and reminding you that there's a reason 16 is always full. And that's because it ate and ate.
Oh, no.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
The Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Hey Anna, it's John Walton here. Here's your liner first. This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on Point and Anna Knox. How about this, too? Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening, Anna. Thanks for helping our cause. Thank you so much. Stay safe during this time, and we hope to see you back at the rink soon.
Hello, me again. So I kind of made a self-promise that I would read everyone's post at the number one Washington Capitals fans group. Turned out we didn't really have a whole lot of time to do that. And I'm gonna read everyone's name at least, and then a select few posts that catch my eye here. But I just want to thank everybody again. It's the number one Washington Capitals fans group. Who were so kind to respond to Robin and her post. So I'm going to try and pick it up where we left off here. Okay, so Melissa Roseman Rubenstein, she was at the game. Thank you. Clint Dernbaugh, he was at DC at Clyde's next to Capital One. I'm sure that was a rocking time. Mike Jernberg, see, Chris Crouch, Mike Livingston, he was at the watch party in Cap One. Mary Fafko posted a nice picture of herself watching it on the big screen at Cap One. Definitely worth checking out. Peg Compton, TV room in Michigan, slider open, sound cranked up, yelling at the top of the top of her lungs at the TV, icing on the cake. I already read that. I didn't realize that. Okay, Cody Montero, this one's a long one. I'm going to go ahead and read that. A long story ahead, spoiler alert. Absolutely diehard sports fan, especially the Caps, and that night was one of the best, most memorable moments I'll never forget. I was numb afterwards from the hysteria of winning and the long journey it took to get there, so I'm a fan of the Braves, Redskins, Caps, and Clemson, as well as a NASCAR fan, was a Gordon fan till he retired, and now a Chase Elliott fan. Now the reason I say that is because being a fan of those teams, I was used to losing a lot. LOL. Braves would win, faltered the playoffs. Skins, need I say more? Clemson just really recently started through them. Okay, so I'm going to skip a little bit here. Then there's our Caps. Don't need to go into long history. Ain't going to lie. Didn't want to get my hopes up. When we were up 3-2 against Pittsburgh, starting to feel like something might finally go our way. Don't think I cheered and jumped more than Cousy when Cousy won the series and then being up 2-0. Okay, so optimistic about the final series against Vegas. My heart was beating out of its chest after Tiger scored to go up 4-3. Couldn't sit down the rest of the game. Mom always sat on the edge of the couch, but she was practically standing on it by the end of the game. She, too, is a huge fan. Also knew the troubles we had, but always had an optimistic outlook when it came to our boys in the final minute hit. My neighbor, who's also a diehard Caps fan, ran across his house to get into ours just because he knew we'd be watching. We were fans too, wanted to cherish and celebrate it with fellow fans, which I thought was too cool. Living near Charlotte, there's a decent amount of Caps fans, but having one live right beside you is a great feeling. Once that clock hit zero, all three of us were hugging, high-fiving, and I know basically teared up knowing this intense, long, sometimes painful journey finally culminated in us finally winning the freaking cup. Splurged that night, spent almost $200 on cup merch, but it was well freaking worth it. Ovi's words were definitely true that season. We were not going to be fucking suck. that's the alpha and the omega right there. So thank you, Cody, for that one. So moving on, Nate Lowe, who was at the bullpen outside Nats Park, Davis Nyman. Let's see, we're in Gainesville. It was their birthday 2 days later. Joni Hunn, Lee Myers, Bill Davidson. Who was on a cruise ship in the middle of a Caribbean, but he watched on a Reddit stream from Spain that was buffering, so that had to have been painful, seeing it only 15 minutes at a time. Denise Hodges Fowler, who was in Maui at the time with her son, also a diehard Caps fan. Yeah, just so many stories here. Jeff Garner, who happened to be at a trade show in Vegas, said he spent his money to go watch the game. Epic win. Debbie Finch, sitting in a family room on the couch. Carrie Hawkins, stayed home and watched. Tears of joy. Sean McGaffick. Bruce Heyman, who was in St. Kitts at the time. Local cable, but able to see it. And he kind of recounted the same story about the clock. Joe Montenegro, couch at home, just like me. His wife had come home to shower, grab a change of clothes. He wouldn't let her leave because when she did, they scored. Oh boy. Skylar, best friend of Capitalsville. Lisa Gunn, home glued to the TV. Brandy Copsey, driving home from Baltimore. Sat at a gas pump in Upper Marlboro for the last 2 minutes. I know what that's like. Randy Mifflow, working later, wound up getting to Hooters, left before the end of the second, got home in time to see the last. Haley Rollins, who was at Bonnaroo of all places, didn't have any internet there apparently or something like that, but got with people, fellow concert goers who were wearing Caps gear. Austin Campbell, gotta love this one. Sitting on my fat ass at home watching the game. Right before the game, I said a prayer. God, I try not to ask for much, but if the Capitals win, I'll never, ever bother you for anything again. I think a lot of us said that prayer as well. End of the game, clock shot 0-0-0, jumping up and down. Cup came out. Ovi collected the cup. And then the tears started flowing. Waited since 1986 for the Caps to win. My dad died 14 months earlier, and all I thought was, I wish he lived long to see it. God bless you, Austin. I was thinking the same thing. Jessica Oskjold, who's from Denmark, at her sister's place in the middle of the night to watch the game. Daiki James Sumagari. Backpacking through southwestern Japan, had to sit my ass down in a makas for the Wi-Fi to watch the game. There's dedication. Michaela Waitson, out at the lake. Mom moved a TV outside so I didn't spend my time inside. Susan Olson, listening to Caps Radio because we just moved into a new house, didn't have TV service yet. John Walton was so excited, we're both crying. J. Arnold Yeske, at home in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. You know, tired's going to be next day. After the game was so wired and happy, but thousands of dollars worth of championship loot online. May not happen ever again, so it was well worth it. Christine Caruso McGee watched the game. Good friends in a prime spot in G Street, and went to Bob and Edith's for food, and then Dick's to gear up. Marissa Alt Bromley got engaged 10 minutes later, watched us take it home. Best night ever. Jennifer Rupp just had surgery on June the 1st, so I had to watch from home. But 7th is my birthday, so I'd say got a pretty great present from the Caps. That was awesome. Liz Karsten Brown, we were at the watch party. Capital One Arena is the greatest thing to ever experience. All high-fiving, hugging, crying, screaming, chanting. I think I mentioned this person before, Davis Nyman. He goes to add, thought I'd throw this in. I was adopted on June 7th, 81, so I got an anniversary present as well. That's kind of nice. Matt McNeish, Cap One Arena for the watch party. Thanks to a member of this group who couldn't make it, offered up her tickets hours before the game. So emotional, as a lifelong Caps fan, being there when they started playing We Are the Champions, and we'll never forget. Okay, so Mason Benet stuck at an overnight shift at work, headphones hidden my hair so I could listen to the game. Totally got in trouble, but way worth it. Kathy Meter Clark, watch party to Cap One. One of the best nights ever. Relive it often in my mind conversations. Thanks for adding joy to this day with this awesome memory. Kyle Dees, try not to go crazy. My 2-week-old daughter slept on my chest wearing a little homemade onesie her Nana made for her to play. Oh, this is the cutest thing. If anybody asks, I will repost it. But it's a onesie with her name on it and the Caps Eagle logo, on the chest. It's so cute. If you're really interested in that, then yeah, well, I will post it. Tim Kratzky, hotel room in Perth, Australia, morning of the 8th, end of the work trip, lasted the entire finals. Puck drop at 8 their time, grabbed the first beer in the mini bar when we won, showing up to work at lunch, party that night, and ran a few other fans. Lee Shaw, Hawaii, lost my mind, cigar and champagne. Evan Shvatkin. By the way, if I mispronounce anyone's name, I do apologize. This was at the base of Section 1. He shows a quick little video of the watch party. Awesome view. Kim Goines in South Carolina. Since moving from Maryland by watching all games on TV, is so antsy not believing this was happening. And this literally came in as I'm speaking, by the way. Watching all games on TV, so antsy not believing this was happening. Spent next weeks not sleeping, following all the Caps adventures, wishing I was living in Virginia. I did get to visit Mr. Stanley, though, and she's got a picture of herself in a Stingrays jersey, South Carolina Stingrays jersey, of course, with the cup. Did get to visit Mr. Stanley, season ticket holder, 2-cap affiliate, Stingrays. Yeah, and that's the most recent one. I'm sure there will be others, but that is the last one. So yes, I would like to thank each and every one of you for indulging in what amounted to a love letter to that night, because as I said, that is probably one of the greatest feelings I will ever have. Especially not to diminish anything, but especially those of us who've been there. Well, to all of us, really. Who sat by and watched playoff heartbreak after heartbreak, but especially the ones who've been sitting and watching year after year after year since the 2000s, the 2010s, the 80s, the 90s, the 70s, all of us long-suffering Cavs fans, that I think it hit the hardest for them, but we all shared a nice little moment of triumph there. And again, thank all of you, each and every one of you, for coming along on the ride with us here and indulging Anna and myself. And so it's a nice trip down memory lane. So thanks each and every one of you. And I'm going to sign off now, and I'm not sure what we're going to do for next week, but we'll think of something. So thanks again, and keep the faith.